Always when, always when, we have heard the message, shalom, always when, there is a place of perfect grace, or behind the inner veil, only to bread or his way. Oh, his way. Oh, his way. We have heard the message, shalom, always well. God bless you. I'm glad to be here. Wherever I go, I take it as if I am home. When I was with him, it was more or less like I'm at home. And today, treat me not as a visiting minister. I'll treat this as my home.
Amen.
So God bless you. Without wasting much of your time, let's go to the reading of the scripture. Shall we open the book of Exodus? Chapter 15. Verses 25 to 26. All right. That will make me home and dry. Let's read Exodus chapter 15 from verse 25 to 26. It says, "And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters, the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statue and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." We have to underline the word diligently. "And we do that which is right in his sight, not that which is wrong. But if you do that which is right in the sight of God, and we give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee." That is the promise. "Which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." That's another promise.
Amen.
"I am the Lord that healeth thee." So my subject is the authority of a doctor. Shall we pray? God, we thank you for the reading of the word. We believe that thy word is truth. It does everything that you promised. We seek for your presence. We desire your presence here, because without you, any fellowship is dead. We commit ourselves into your hands, as we believe, God, thy word said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there shall I be. Bless the eagles that are here. Bless their desire for fellowship. You did promise, Lord, when you come back, shall you find faith? When people come to fellowship, it is a sign of faith in God. Bless them for that. In Jesus Christ's name, shall we be seated? Now I want to talk a little about the authority of a doctor. We all know that a doctor is a person who is well trained and licensed to be a physician. In the medical profession, you can never be a doctor unless you are licensed by all, if not one, regulatory body to prove that you know what you are doing. A medical doctor is well trained to handle the sick or the injured. He has the knowledge and the skill that is transferred to him by those who are institutions, learning institutions, and the medical field. He can also administer medicine. He's a man of repute. In any society, when you see a doctor, he's not a simple guy. A doctor is a person who can instruct you what to do, and you don't question him. If you go to the hospital, you enter the office of a doctor, as he says, good morning, sir. Good morning, doctor. If you are with your wife, if he asks you to say, are you the husband who is sick between you? Oh, it's my wife. All right. Can I have you leave, please? You never say, no, this is my wife. I have to see what you are doing here. He will tell you, take your wife. That is the door. But what you do, you obey his statement. You just leave. Off you go, out of the door, without knowing exactly what the doctor is going to do with your wife inside. But because he has authority over you, you cannot object to that. Whether it's the president of the country, whether he's the commander of the army, if he enters the office of a doctor, he will respect his voice. He can say, can you sit down? You sit. Stand up? You stand up. Can you walk 3 steps? Right? You do it. Here is the bed. Sleep on the bed. You do it. Why? Because he holds your life in his hands. He can estimate your life. He's the man behind your head. So he can do anything that he wants to do, because he is a doctor and you respect his orders. Many people respect a doctor. It's one of the professions that possibly, if it were possible with God, to prepare a place in the New Jerusalem for only doctors, regardless of their repentance, but because of the good work that they do. Maybe that could be for doctors. Otherwise, they are doing a fantastic job. Brother Branham one time was telling the audience that when he went to meet a doctor, he was taught by a medical physician that if you continue to preach the way you are doing, one day you drop on the pulpit dead. And the prophet was kind of, what am I going to do? Because when a doctor gives you a prescription, you always have trust in him. Always. I've seen people driving the vehicle. When it is time for them to take medicine, they'll stop the vehicle and say, gentlemen, wait a moment. I want to take medicine. It's time. It's 12 o'clock. The doctor told me like that. You go take it 3 times in a day, morning, noon, evening. You make sure you do that. Next time you go to meet him, he will do his test, send you to laboratory, get results, make his analysis. Then you say, well, Mr. Nzima, your problem is over. You are now fine. But I'll give you this prescription. Take it for 2-3 days, but actually your problem is over. Immediately you go out of his office. The person you meet, you start testifying. Ah, the doctor says, I'm okay. I'm fine. You continue making that testimony until home. Why? Doctor so-and-so told me I'm fine. You can imagine the level of trust that we have on a doctor. He's a man of authority. Whatever he tells you, you believe it. Because he's a doctor. If he tells you, you will not leave the next 3 months, you'll believe it.
Oh, sorry, the doctor says, I'm going to die within 3 months. Oh.
Because he's a doctor, he has taught you. You have more trust in him. But now we wonder very much that there is a chief surgeon, Dr. Jesus. When he speaks, those that believe it shall lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Not many people believe it. But he's the chief surgeon. He's the one who promised you all healing. He's the one who has given you all the evidence. The other evidence is what Brother Zima was saying here. But you tend to doubt. You tend not to believe it. He's a doctor who cannot tell your husband and wife to leave his office. He will never tell you to walk up and down. Every time he says you are healed, he means it. I remember in the year 1987, in my home country, I personally had arthritis and was met with three physicians, Dr. Meshek from Egypt, Dr. Friend from London, and Jack Wirima from Malawi, one of the best doctors we have in Malawi. They checked on me. Finally, they told me I was not going to leave for the next 3 months. Let me tell you, if a doctor tells you like that, the whole country, as big as Malawi it is, you see it very little. And tears start coming out of your eye. Because you believe that what he's telling me is the truth. And they all said, Mr. Nkoma, don't worry, we are going there. We'll only give you medication to relieve your pain. If you haven't done a will, please go and do it. So I and my wife left their office. I could see the face of my wife. She was very sad. I'll be losing my husband in 3 months' time. Why? Doctors have said so. But when I met the chief surgeon, and presented my problem, he had a different prescription altogether. He said, no, you are not going to die. Brothers prayed for me. They gave me oil. I recovered within 3 months. 1987 up to now, you can count how many years. This is the kind of a doctor we need to put trust in. Because whatever he says never fails. There is a lot of evidence, a lot of it. But this doctor requires faith. The earthly doctor would only need your presence, do some tests and so forth. But mind you, sometimes they would tell you to go and buy a drug, which is very expensive, which you cannot afford. Maybe to carry out tests to another hospital, very expensive. For example, in Malawi, we have Maiwatu. Maiwatu is one of the best hospitals we have in Malawi. If you stay there for 2 to 3 days, you expect a bill of over 1 million kwacha. Very expensive. With one of the best doctors in Malawi. But how many people can afford? Then Jesus comes. As you say, he says, I have already paid the price for you. You no longer need to buy another medicine. I am the medicine for you. If only you can believe in me, all things are possible.
Amen.
And the bride today needs to stand on this. We have something which is freely given to us. You'd be surprised to see a brother spending a lot of money. I don't say it's not good to go to the hospital, but if you don't have money, there is someone who paid for you. The only thing you need to have is faith. If you believe in me, I'll ask the Father to do whatsoever you want. That's the promise. Things of God, they're always, always achieved by faith. That's why Brother Branham, God told him to say, if you can make people to believe you, nothing shall stand in your front. That is why even a pastor, for you to benefit from him, it requires you to believe in him. Any minister who is preaching to you, it requires you to believe in him. Then you can benefit from him. That's the way God does his things. But although a doctor is a well-respected man in the society, he has limitations. The earthly doctor has limitations. He will tell you, all right, for my analysis from the lab test, I see that you may have developed a tumor inside your body. So I'll give you this, the drugs for you to check for 1 week. Do you know the statement that follows? If you closely listen to doctors, they'll tell you, if you don't improve, come. If nothing changes after taking the drugs for 1 week or 2 weeks, come and see me. Why does he say so? He is doing it out of assumption. He is not sure what will happen with you. That's why good doctors say it, we are not healers, it's God who heals.
Amen.
You take all the treatment for 2 weeks, you see that things are not improving. You go back to him. You try another prescription. Okay, let's change the drugs here. All right, I'll put this, okay. Try this. Go to the shop. If you have money, you can go and buy. Maybe the hospital doesn't have it in stock. You see people spending money. In the end, if you count all the money spent, quite huge. It's quite huge. Why should we keep on not trusting in God? Because God says, if you do this, I will not put all these diseases that have put on the people in Egypt, which means it is a promise that when you are sick, the Lord will be by your bedside. The problem, children of God, we have is that we don't believe in the word of God. We don't believe in him. We doubt the word of God. No matter there could be evidence presented to you, but you'd see that there is a lot of doubting amongst the so-called believers. But someone paid the price. He paid for you that you should no longer pay again. What do you do? Have faith in God.
Amen.
This is the foundation of good Christianity. If you have faith in God, then you can build on that. Without faith, you cannot please God. Where there is no faith, there is no Christianity. You hear the word, believe it. Never doubt it. Reverend, one time he was saying that, you know, the word of God is like a technician. If you have gone to an institution and you have trained in, let's say, for example, making chairs like this. For you to produce best products, you've got to try to do it on your own. Do it. The more you do it, the more experience you gain. Thereafter, you'll see it easier to do it all alone. But the problem is that most Christians don't want to practice their faith. If you want to build your faith, practice it. If you don't practice your faith, it's very difficult, even for someone when he comes to you. He says, I want to pray for you to believe him. It will be difficult. Pray on your own and believe. Because to pray for the sick is not only the work of the pastor or any minister. Is for a believing child of God.
Amen.
If you believe in God, you believe in his word, you can pray for the sick shall recover. And you know what God is doing nowadays? The numerous testimonies as evidence. What God is doing. Not only here in Zambia, if you go to Malawi, you'll be puzzled. There's a lot what God is doing. Not only in Malawi, wherever there are Christians who are able to believe the word of God. Because when God speaks, he will back up his word. He will never allow his word to fall in dispute. He wants to prove that his word is living. So, brothers and sisters, we need to believe in God.
Amen.
And as doctor. He can tell you, okay, the disease we have diagnosed in you would require you not to take eggs. You can imagine if you were enjoying eggs and the doctor tells you not to take them. He's trying to deprive you of your right to eating eggs. Don't take meat. He's subjecting you to things that will make you to be thin. Eh? Make sure you don't take meat. When he tells you like that, you believe him. You say, the moment I take meat, I'm going to die. Because the doctor says so. But when Dr. Jesus comes to you, he will never deprive you of your right to any food. The only thing he does is to deal with the demon that is in your body.
Amen.
This requires only you to believe. This one, a lot of things you are supposed to do. Mind you, a doctor, an earthly doctor, is also, you know what the devil does? He would protect evil for the sake of continuity. Doctors make a lot of mistakes. A lot of them. If you and me were to travel to the graveyard today, reaching the graveyard, and God having mercy to us, then we ask to say, ladies and gentlemen, all of you who are here in the graveyard, want to have evidence from you. How many people died while taking medication from a doctor? You'll find them plenty. Plenty. Right now, as I'm preaching, people are dying in hospitals. But now, these people are protected by law. In my own country, you cannot speak ill of a hospital. You'll be arrested. Even if a doctor makes a mistake, he kills a patient, that information is never released to the guardians. Why? To protect their profession, so that the public should never lose trust in them. I remember Brother Branham was sharing his story of his father, how he died. The doctor gave him an overdose of a drug. After taking it, then he died. It's common sense. Everywhere it happens. Even in my own country, it happens. I remember of an incident where a doctor left one of the tubes inside the stomach of a woman. When she went home, she could feel pain throughout. Coming back to the hospital, they checked her. You need to go to the theater. Another second operation was done, only to see that there was a tube remain inside. They removed it, but they never shared that information to her. So doctors are human beings. Because they work on assumptions, though we have trust in them, they can make serious mistakes. But I've never seen one time when Jesus made a single mistake. He's a physician you can trust. He doesn't make mistakes because he's the one that made your body. When you complain, he knows what's the problem inside. And he knows how to fix it. This other one would, first of all, after listening from you, carry out tests. Well, Jesus won't do that. Why should we have more respect and trust on a person with his human ability that has limitations than Jesus Christ? Because when he called you, he promised he would look after you. God never fails. When you ask him, he knows he's a doctor. He knows the kind of medicine to give you. We are living in a generation, as science is increasing, there are a lot of diseases coming on the planet, some of which even doctors, they don't know them very well. No medication for them. So the only hope that we have is in Jesus Christ, who can never disappoint you. A doctor will disappoint you. When a doctor disappoints you, do you know where you go? There is a secret house behind. They call it a mortuary. That tells you a good story. That we at the hospital, we can try, but we fail. When we fail, we'll send you to that house. But Jesus has no mortuary. He has everything for you, brother and sister. The only thing he needs from you is to believe in him. Have faith in God. And all things are possible. There was another story that I would like to share to you that happened somewhere. A wife was sick, the brother. At the same time, he lost his daddy. It was kind of a shock to him, having lost his father, and the wife was very sick. And this brother went to see the doctor. The doctor tried his best. The bill that came from the hospital was quite huge, that he could not afford. So what did he do? He said, "I'm sorry, doctor. I've seen the prescription, but my pocket cannot afford. And I don't have anyone actually who can pay for me." The doctor said, "I'll pay one side. Can you manage to pay two sides?" He said, "No, I don't have money." Such situations, they make children of God to be disturbed. Mind you, brothers and sisters, we should never lose track. Whatever we meet, we should never lose track. Always remember, I'm a child of God.
Amen.
If you remember who you are, no matter what you meet, how hard it might look like, God will intervene.
Amen.
You must know who you are. You are a Zambian, of course, but you have another label, another identity, which most Zambians cannot read, but you can read it yourself. Who you are. I'm a child of God. If you walk, do anything, wherever you go, you know why most people come into problems? It's because they forget who they are. I'm a child of God. I was sharing the story with brothers and sisters in your home?
Chatama.
In Chatama. I was saying Brother Branham shared a story of a slave who came from Africa and was in America during the slavery period. His father was a king in Africa. And he had grown up as a child of a king. When it was time for lunch, they could beat a drum, all slaves would rush, queue on the line, but himself not. So the owner of these slaves was observing him very carefully. What's happening with this slave? He would wait, all line up, take their portions. At last, he would walk majestically and get his portion. If it was time to go farming, he never waited to hear a drum. He picked his hoe onto his shoulders, off he went. The people were surprised because it was like a very unique behavior amongst the majority of slaves. And the owner was puzzled. One time, he caught him. Slave, come here. I've been observing your character. You are not like the rest of them. Character is very important, brothers and sisters. We can say we are message believers, but if our character does not support that, our testimony is useless. Let the people that stay around you testify about your character. They should say good things about you. Although not all can do that. So this slave, he said, "No, master, I come from Africa. My father is a king, and I have grown up as a child of a king. So no matter I am here in America, I still do not forget that I'm a child of a king. That's the way Christian stands. If you are in Rwanda, you must behave as a child of the king. Whether you are in Livingstone, you should not change behavior because you are far from your pastor. That there is no one who can see you. Don't change behavior. Remain who you are. Let your character be the testimony. When the people see you, they should be able to ask you, who are you? We see you are different from us. That's the way to go. And this slave, the master said, okay, I've understood. I know you now. Anyone coming to buy slaves, he was telling them to say, I'm selling all these, but not this one. Why? He had a very unique character. When you are at school, those of you who are going to school, demonstrate good behavior. Your head teachers should be able to say, at this school, if we have a boy who is well behaved, it's this one. Sometimes we see children of believers nowadays misbehaving even in schools, which is very shameful. It should never be like that. Because all what people want to see is your character. So this slave was liked than the others because he had a very unique character, very much different from the rest. God bless you. Let me leave it here.